Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
So Pastor Jay started the series on the two trees in the garden. And last week, he did it, you know, on the whiteboard. And I thought, that's great, but that's not me. He left it on in case I needed it. But I know that's just not how I function. So we all function in our own way. And I'm just going to do what I naturally do. So our new birth is the beginning of our journey, isn't it? We can't even begin to walk and see the difference until we're born again. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us see the difference. After we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes into us and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God begins to start to make changes in our lives. And we begin to see things in our lives that don't line up with the Scriptures. At least we should when we read the Word, right? And we begin to study the Word and draw on the Word. In the last couple of years, there's been a lot of confusion. And it was interesting that Pastor Jeff I was at Whitehorse the last few days. He kept addressing the amount of confusion that has come into the church. And it has. And, when Jesus was crucified and he died, that caused a lot of confusion in the disciples. They thought he was going to establish a kingdom, a physical kingdom, and now he's dead. And then when he rises from the dead, they still don't understand. Even when he's getting ready to ascend, they still don't understand that the kingdom he has brought is a spiritual kingdom. And so we've got the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the circumstances all around them and what's happened. And Jesus joins them, and they don't recognize him. And he asks them what they're talking about, and he recognizes, boy, these two guys are really distracted. And I think that's kind of the place that we're coming out of, finally, into a place of clarity again. But they were distracted, and he opened up the Word to them. And in opening up the Word to them, it was like they began to realign. Everything came back into order. And after he broke bread with them and then he disappeared, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he, spoke about the Word? And so, the Word was him. And so for us, it's very, very crucial that if we're vacillating and what's right, what's wrong, Some are declaring we're in the end times and it could be any day. Some are talking about rapture. Some are talking about, we should, really address the government. So many different things. The body of Christ is all over the place right now. And people are struggling, what's right? Get back to the Word. Just back to the Word. Back to the Word. So we get born again and the Holy Spirit comes into us. That's what happened with the disciples in John 21. After he met with them on the road to Emmaus, he walks through the wall, comes into them. They all look like ghosts, I'm sure, when they behold Jesus standing there. I mean, most of us don't walk through walls. Anyway, he breathes life into them, the Ruah, which happened with Adam and Eve. When we get born again, that's what happens to us. The Ruah of the Holy Spirit comes into us. Now later at Pentecost, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're on fire for the Lord. And because they can't express it fast enough, all of a sudden tongues bubble out. Now, the church's focus has been predominantly on tongues and Pentecost. But that's one small portion of what really happened. And I want to just delve into a little bit as much as I can. So God has come, the church begins to grow, and Paul begins to preach the truth to them, to bring them out of the law and into grace. This is all they've known. They've only known the law. They've only known Old Testament law, but now we're in a new dispensation. And this is a dispensation of grace. So Paul is raised up by the Father because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was well taught. And God put that man on the backside of the desert where he deprogrammed him, so to say, and filled him with the Holy Spirit, and the lights went on in Paul, and he understood what Jesus Christ had done. And so he's writing in Galatians because he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there are those who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul has taught them, but after he leaves, and he warned, he says, teachers are going to come in to pervert the gospel to bring you back under the law. They had been deceived. Lots of deception right now. Paul does not question the Galatian believers in their sincerity, nor accuses them of rebellion or sin. His question is, who has bewitched you? They were operating back under the law again and had lost the freedom of Christ. We don't want to lose that freedom. We want to grow in that freedom, right? And it's very dependent on which tree we eat from. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had put them back under the law. They were no longer operating in grace. So I don't want to repeat Jay's message, but we understand there were two trees in the garden. And we're either going to eat from the tree of life, which we're allowed to eat from all the time, or we're going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we start to die inside when we go back. That same process happens for us. You know, we start eating from that wrong tree, and we start judging and criticizing and being in condemnation ourselves. You can feel yourself just kind of withering. That's right. You can feel it. But when you get back into that place and you start eating from that tree of life and you start giving the Holy Spirit the freedom to fill you up, you start to come alive again. Amen? And being in worship is one way of just feeling yourself coming alive. But when we're eating from the wrong tree, even in worship, we can just kind of be distracted because we're just not connected the same way. And so we need to be really, really careful which tree we eat from. One of the missing puzzle pieces, there's a couple of them that I felt I wanted to address today. But we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. And when Sean stepped up to do the offering, I could just feel the Holy Spirit just drop. Could you? Yeah, like, it was there in worship. But somehow, Sean, it's like you just drew him down. And he's the one that empowers us. And he's the one that we need to draw on first thing in the morning every day. Every day. We need to sit with him. And even while you're, you know, carefully, while you're driving to work, Holy Spirit, fill me. Carefully, I say. You want to stay in your own side of the road. But yes, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need you. I need more of you. I want you, Holy Spirit. When they're in that upper room and they receive the Holy Spirit, tongues just began to bubble out of them. And I think part of the reason it happened is because they couldn't expound with their own language what they were feeling. They just went into a different place and they began to just pray in, it says, in other tongues, in diverse tongues. And they prayed. They were filled with incredible joy. And they became intoxicated with the presence of the Lord. I believe one of the reasons that happened is because they had known Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They knew his love. They experienced his love. They saw it in his eyes as he ministered to the broken. They saw it in his eyes as he hugged the lepers. They saw it in his eyes when he ministered to Zacchaeus, when he ministered to the woman that walked into the room where all the Pharisees were at Levi's dinner. They saw it in him. They touched him. They were around him. And then he leaves. And they're told, go and wait 10 days. And the Holy Spirit comes. And all of a sudden, the one they walked with was inside of them. And they felt it. And they knew it. And where they had felt like they were apart from him, he was now in them. He's in us. He's in us. But look what happens with them. There's such a baptism of love that comes that all of a sudden, those that had lands sold them. Those that had homes and possessions sold them and brought them to the feet of Jesus to minister to those that were in need all around them. There was such a change that happened that everything that Jesus had been telling them and teaching them began to bubble up. And he says, I will bring to remembrance those things that I've taught you. He told him he would. But it took the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden that probably like all of us, you know, we have homes. And I'm not saying we got to go and sell our house. But there was a capacity to let go in order to do what Jesus would do. There was just a change. And it happened like that fast. And I really believe we're coming into a time where even if we can only give a little bit, we need to give. We need to put seed in the ground because we want to be able to feed others. Because it's moving very, very quickly. We don't see it so much here, though we're to some degree, but over there in foreign countries, it's huge and it's happening quickly. So Lord, help us to have such a baptism. Don't let us eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and look at why they're that way. They got corrupt governments. We could look, and that's our mind, human reasoning. That doesn't change the situation for our brothers and sisters that are there. Right? Our prayers for them, our intercession for them, and then our reaching into faith to be able to bless them is what's going to help them. And praying for them that they can reach into the heavenlies to pull down what they need. It's interesting when he picked up the call, he said, I'm in intercession. They were in the same place. And you could hear them interceding. They're very faithful. They've been doing it for years. And they walk to get there. Long, long ways to get there. And it's hot. But you could hear them just storming heaven in the background. He said, we're in prayer. It's Saturday morning. We're praying. I'll call you back. And I thought, Lord, they're such a faithful people. Turn their nation. Turn their nation. It says that when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they recognized they were naked. And they were ashamed. Well, their natural eyes were already open, but the eyes of the soul opened up. And the eyes of the spirit, the eyes of the heart began to close. I believe the other thing that they experienced was the lifting off of the glory. And they felt so naked without it. They had been covered in God's glory. They were one with him. They communed with him. He walked and talked with them in the garden daily. And all of a sudden, because they wouldn't know what death was. In the day you partake of it, you will die. What's die? Right? They had no idea. But now, all of a sudden, they did. There was a young woman at the conference, young mom with two children, who, when she was 14 years old, was taken by her father to the Lakeland Revival. Were you there for that, Sean? Yeah. She didn't want to go. She said, I was a rebellious 14-year-old. But my father, in wisdom, wanted me to experience the glory that was there. And she said, that glory that was in that room came into me. I didn't know it. But she said, about 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden, I began to hunger for revival. And it kept me crying out to him. She said, I've been crying out for hunger for the Lord. She's weeping as she's sharing. Just kept crying out, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. I need more of you. When she came down the prayer line, the glory preceded her. It was huge on her. 14 years old, received an impartation. If God shows up here in a powerful way one morning, I think all the kids should be down here and they should get impartation, because we don't know what God's going to do with it. But it sure took off in her 3 weeks ago. A lot of us have received impartation. We need to be crying out, God, get me hungry again. You know, get me hungry again. And when it doesn't happen tomorrow, come on, get me hungry. Keep me hungry. Keep me pressing in. Keep me wanting this for the sake of everyone else out there. Keep me wanting your presence. Keep me wanting more, Lord. Don't let me settle for a little bit. And we've been talking about this for years. But I know my God's faithful. My God's faithful. And all those prophetic words about what's going to happen, just like this 14-year-old, she received the impartation. All those prophetic words we received from all the different people. When I think of Kobus, von Rensburg from South Africa, who had an incredible healing ministry, he came here. I mean, God said he would send people here. And he did. This man imparted into this house. That's here. We just have to be determined. Lord, we want it. Come on. We have to say, Lord, I want it. Amen? I want to see people coming in wheelchairs and leaving out of them, pushing them out of here. I want to see people throwing canes away and saying, I don't need this anymore. Even when they came into the parking lot at his church, they're throwing them away. They don't need them. They're healed. Amen? Isn't that what we want? So, Lord, make me hungry. Why settle for just mediocrity? Right? Make me hungry. I watched her, and I've had a lot in my life. I've been blessed. But I watched her, and I thought, God, if I'm not hungry anymore, I want to be hungry. Amen? Don't let me settle down and say, well, I've done my turn. I'm in my 70s now. I can rest. It's the younger generation's turn. Are you kidding me? Come on, I'll outrun you. I want more. Amen? Do you? Okay. Anyway, she was powerfully impacted. And so, you know, God in his mercy really, really touched her, and she in turn really stirred us on. So the eyes that could perceive with love closed, and the eyes that wanted to function in the soul opened up. I'm sure Pastor Jay will go into a lot more of this, but Paul in Ephesians 1:18 says, he prays that the eyes of the heart would be opened or enlightened. Wisdom and revelation come from the tree of life. God can only be known through the wisdom and revelation which comes from him. It was neat how you were saying, Sean, you'd never worked in wood before, but he was downloading that wisdom to you. He does that with all of us. We don't always recognize it, but he's, the closer we get to the Father, the more that starts to pour into us. And so we say, thank you, Lord. It's all our portions. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul says this, and this is out of the Passion Translation. I pray continually that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would unveil in you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation through the fullness of being one with Christ. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of our great hope of glory. So this all functions out of our oneness with Christ. Well, if we're born again, we already have oneness with Christ, right? But through the Holy Spirit, as we pray and as we ask him to fill us and as we read the word and as we worship, the Father begins to move more and more in our lives. And our thought processes begin to change. And he begins to reveal to us areas where our life doesn't line up. Like we'll be reading a scripture and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness. I didn't even know that was wrong, but now I see. So our place then is to say, Lord, forgive me. And not beat ourselves up. But say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And Lord, teach me. Change the way I think. That's repent. Change the way I think. Lord, show me how you function in different situations. Instead of going to our natural reasoning, we go to him and he begins to transform us. In the footnotes in the New King James, the Spirit-filled Life Bible that I have, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened literally means that your heart may receive the brightness of hope as a result of understanding the wealth of God's investment in you. Isn't that good? Let me read that again. That your heart may receive the brightness of hope as a result of understanding the wealth of God's investment in you. He gave his only son for you and for me. I mean, is there any greater investment ever than that? And then he seated us with Christ in heavenly places. And he made us co-heirs with him. And he said, everything that is in heavenly places is now yours. We got to reach in for it. And if we're thinking and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're not reaching into that realm. We're just functioning here. But God's wanting to teach us to eat from the tree of life where we begin to get downloads from heaven on how to handle difficult situations, maybe in the workplace, how to function with a mate, how to see a relationship turn around, how to pray for that relationship, how to love on that person. See, heaven sees with different eyes than earth. It does. Amazingly so. How did heaven see Saul of Tarsus? Saw him totally different, I'm sure, than the early church saw him, especially when he stood there holding the coats of those that were killing Stephen, stoning him to death. And Stephen's one prayer of, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," opened the door for Saul of Tarsus to come in. So if we think that our forgiving someone who's hurt us, or an unsaved person who's deeply hurt us, when we forgive them, it doesn't have any impact, even though they don't seem to be changing right now, in the spirit realm, everything has just shifted for that person to be able to come into the kingdom. So let me just read to you. This isn't mine. I stumbled across it and I thought, wow, I want to read this. So Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist in the eyes of the earth, early church. He was a murderer, and he took pride in the fact that he did his murderer's duty with such religious zeal. And that's Acts 9, 1 and 2. From the perspective of the early church, Saul was seen as an enemy. But that is not the way heaven saw him. Heaven saw him as a friend in the making. There are lots of ways an enemy can be dealt with. He can be threatened into silence. He can be tortured into compliance. He can be imprisoned or exiled or even murdered. Stephen's death and forgiveness set the stage for Saul's conversion. Jesus seeks out Saul, not to correct him, not to intimidate him, not to harm him, but to love him. And in loving him, Jesus turned the most feared of enemies into the most faithful of friends. Look at Acts 9. Put yourself in the scene, looking with kingdom eyes and hearing with kingdom ears. What do you see? What do you hear? As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." A heavenly light shines around him, dispelling the hellish darkness that has surrounded Saul's heart. And what do you hear? You hear a voice. There's no anger in it, no animosity, no antagonism, but there is tenderness in it. Tenderness tingled with sadness. "Saul, Saul." After Jesus called Saul by name, he doesn't threaten him. He doesn't rebuke him, doesn't lecture him. There's no ridicule, no condemnation. Just the tender, sorrowful question, why? And it sounds as if Jesus is confused, at a loss to understand all the animosity that Saul has had for him. Why are you persecuting me? But that was the beginning of their friendship. Jesus sought out an enemy and loving him instead of hating him, forgiving him instead of punishing him, blessing him instead of cursing him, he became a friend. Before then, Saul was filled with hate for Jesus and for anyone who followed him. His hate was an obsession, but now he was filled with a passionate love for Jesus Christ. Heaven saw the man totally different. And God's heart for us is that our eyes become his eyes, that we can see people the way he sees people, the way heaven sees people. A number of years ago here in this church, we were taught to see the gold in people. Remember that? Learn to see the gold in people. Learn to see what Jesus sees in people. We have to be eating from the tree of life to do that. Not from the tree that would judge and criticize and condemn because of what people are doing, but to love them into wholeness. The prophetic word sees, when it's released, sees way past where that person's at and sees what God sees in them. And the gift pulls that person from that horrible place they're in to the place where the Lord wants them to be. It might even take a couple of years before they get there, but they will get there. The last key to being changed so that we're eating from the tree of life is to know the Father and His love for us. Once we know the Father, and it seems like people can easily connect with Jesus, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they can connect with that. But if their background has been painful and they've had not a good relationship with the Father or someone that represents a father, the last step to coming into a deep, intimate relationship with the Father is a hard one. Because God has to heal the pain of an earthly father. Because our heavenly Father is not that way at all. But our vision may have been clouded by what we experienced in the natural realm. In 1996, there was a move of God in Toronto called the Toronto Blessing. How many of you in here ever went? Oh, there's still some here that went. Okay. I mean, they had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. They had a church in St. Thomas, and Pastor Arnott and his wife Carol, and had prayed for God to move. They were hungry and passionate for God to move. And finally, I don't know all the circumstances around it, but they felt they needed to shift to Toronto, and they ended up setting up church in a warehouse on the back side of the airport. And I went there once to that building. It was just a small room. This is probably like the one in our church in Woodsley, maybe, that size. And sure enough, once they're there, all of a sudden, God begins to move. Powerfully begins to move in their midst. The Holy Spirit shows up. And because they experience it on a Sunday morning service, they go back in the evening wondering, will it be there again? And that anointing was there. And from there, it began to increase. Now they're on the back of the airport. And people start coming in from all over the world because they hear God's moving. And the anointing that was there is the anointing of the love of the Father. It was called the Toronto Blessing later on. But people came from all over the world, especially pastors who just were burnt out. They weren't going to go on. It was kind of their last-ditch attempt to see, you know, if they could, you know, touch God and see their situation turn around. That love was tangible. It was in the room. They moved from there into a huge facility because they needed to be able to house the people that were coming from all over. People were selling everything they had, church, to get to Toronto. I remember being there and watching in the hangar. Little ladies from somewhere in Eastern Europe coming in with babushkas on their heads and little old tattered suitcases. They were there to get. And they had sold whatever they needed to get an airline ticket to be there. And they wanted God. And people came desperate. And they received an impartation of the Father's love. That anointing was tangible. They took it back to their countries. England was impacted tremendously by that. But they went all over the world with that anointing. God is love. Love is His personality. This love is a substance. It could be imparted and it could be received. I remember the altar call that came, do you want to receive the Father's love? And I mean, people just flooding down to the front to receive. And just broken before the Father. Some had hands laid on them. I didn't. I just wanted it straight from God. And I remember standing off on the side, and I stood there for a couple hours. I got like I had cement boots on. I couldn't move. Everything in me wanted to say, can I just fall over? I just want to lay on the floor. But I just stood, and I couldn't move until God was done. And I just remember just the love of the Father pouring in. And pouring and pouring and pouring. I was sopping wet by the time I got done from crying. That love is a substance. And in this hour, we need that baptism of love of the Father. We need to have it for those that are hurting and broken. We need to have it to love them the way Jesus loved them. You know, it was said at the conference we were at that they're going to come in and they're not going to look like us. They're not. Go downtown. Pastor Jill and Judy know. They didn't look like us, did they? But they're going to come. In desperation, they're going to come. And we need a baptism of love so that when we're ministering to them, all they see is eyes of love. They don't see judgment, criticism, harshness. Why did you get caught up in drugs? They don't need any of that. They just need daddy. They just need love. God will take care of all of the rest of it after they come to know Him and get set free. You know, He knows how to clean the fish. Seriously, He does. He did each one of us differently. But it didn't happen with someone's human reasoning, I'll tell you that right now. When people stand in front of me and they start instructing me from what they think I need, it doesn't work. I need a God word. I need Jesus. I don't need someone to give me their counsel in a tough situation. It's one of the reasons why we were advised to be careful not to give Zach all kinds of advice, because it's coming out of human reasoning. He needs God. He needs God. Amen? So, God's love is wonderful. We need a baptism of the Father's love. When the Father comes in, He comes in with His personality. He comes in with the gifts. He comes in with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As we connect with the Father, that starts to develop in us. We learn to live in 1 Corinthians 13. His love pouring in will then overflow with all its characteristics into us to bear the fruit that needs to come forth in our lives. A fruit of love that can impact nations. So would you stand to your feet, please? So Lord, we just thank You today. Holy Spirit, You came in so wonderfully this morning. Holy Spirit, impart into us a hunger for Your presence that would consume us. Lord, a hunger that will not let go of you until you begin to move, both in our personal lives and here corporately. Father, put a hunger in us to see signs and wonders and miracles in our midst. Father, that we would not quit praying for people until, Father, we see them begin to walk away healed. Father, don't let us just settle for the nominal. Help us to press in for all that you have for us. And Father, I pray today that you would baptize us with your love. That, Lord, when we look into people's eyes, they don't see criticalness, judgmentalness, scorn, despising, none of those things that are part of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they'll only see the love of Jesus like the woman did in Levi's house, the prostitute. The Pharisees wanted to prove themselves right. And Jesus just kept looking into her eyes while he addressed them for the lack of love and care for him when he walked into the house. And he just loved on her, and she left totally restored, totally made whole. And the Pharisees could have partaken of that, but they're too prideful. And so they left the same. Lord, we want to leave so flooded with you, even today. Lord, just even now, just reach up and say, Daddy, I need your love. I need your love to love the people around me. I need your love to love the next person I meet that is so different, that could even grate me the wrong way. But Lord, let me love the way you would love. Lord, flood us with your love. The love that was willing to give Jesus his only begotten son to die the most horrific death that's possible, so that we would be free and we could minister to others with the love we've received. So Lord, we thank you. Holy Spirit, would you brood over us all day? Don't let us go. Brood over us all week so that we begin to just want more. And Lord, I pray that as we diligently seek your face and sit with your word, that the word would begin to open up more. Enlighten us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.